Okay, in this lecture, we're going to talk about other proof techniques besides direct proof, proof by contradiction, and proof by mathematical induction. There are hundreds of thousands of different methods of proof, and we've covered the three most central and standard ones, but this section illustrates some other ways to think about things. And the first idea we're going to talk about is dividing the question into cases. So we'll begin with an example. Let us show that every integer n, which is a perfect cube, is either 1, a multiple of 9, 2, 1, less than a multiple of 9, or 3, 1, more than a multiple of 9. So we'll consider three cases. Case 1, the integer n is the cube of a multiple of 3. So n is equal to the quantity 3j cubed. That's what the cube of a multiple of 3 looks like. That's 27j cubed, which is 9 times the quantity 3j cubed. So in this case, it is clear that n is a multiple of 9. That's case 1. Second case, the integer n is the cube of 1 less than a multiple of 3. So n is the quantity 3j minus 1 cubed, which multiplies out as 27j cubed minus 27j squared plus 9j minus 1, which is 9 times 3j cubed minus 3j squared plus j. Altogether, take away 1. So we see that in this case, n is 1 less than a multiple of 9, and that is case 2. Finally, we consider the case where n is the cube of 1 more than a multiple of 3. So n has the form quantity 3j plus 1 cubed. That multiplies out as 27j cubed plus 27j squared plus 9j plus 1, which is 9 times the quantity 3j cubed plus 3j squared plus j, altogether, plus 1. So in this case, n is 1 more than a multiple of 9. That's case 3 enunciated at the start of the problem. So we've proved this conclusion that has three pieces by considering three separate cases. In the next example, we will show that if n is an integer, then 3n squared plus n plus 14 is even. Again, we divide into cases. In case n is even, then n equals 2k for some integer k, thus 3n squared plus n plus 14 is 3 times the quantity 2k squared plus the quantity 2k plus 14, and that's 12k squared plus 2k plus 14, and that's 2 times the quantity 6k squared plus k plus 7. So we see immediately that in case n is even, then 3n squared plus n plus 14 is even. If n is odd, then n equals 2k plus 1 for some integer k, so 3n squared plus n plus 14 is 3 times the quantity 2k plus 1 all squared plus 2k plus 1 plus 14, and that's 3 times 4k squared plus 4k plus 1 altogether plus 2k plus 1 plus 14, and that multiplies out as 12k squared plus 12k plus 3 plus 2k plus 1 plus 14, and that's 12k squared plus 14k plus 18, which is altogether 2 times 6k squared plus 7k plus 9. And again, we see that 3n squared plus n plus 14 is even. In both cases, which are exhaustive, our expression 3n squared plus n plus 14 is even, so that completes the proof. Now let us look at the famous triangle inequality, which you've seen many, many times for many, many years, and probably used many times. The triangle inequality says that for real numbers x and y, absolute value of x plus y is less than or equal to absolute value x plus absolute value y. And we're going to use the fact, which I note here in brackets, that absolute A is less than or equal to alpha if and only if A is between minus alpha and alpha. Simply because saying that absolute A is less than or equal to alpha is saying that the distance of A to the origin is not larger than alpha, so A must lie in the interval minus alpha, alpha. Okay, so we're going to prove the triangle inequality by considering cases. The first case is X is bigger than or equal to 0 and Y is bigger than or equal to 0. In this case, the absolute value of X plus Y is x plus y itself, because the quantity x plus y is non-negative, and that equals absolute x plus absolute y, because x is non-negative and y is non-negative. So the claimed inequality, absolute x plus y less than or equal to absolute x plus absolute y, is clear in this case, and in fact, in this case, it's an equality. Second case, x bigger than or equal to 0 and y less than 0. In this case, we have x plus y less than or equal to x plus minus y, because y is negative, so minus y is positive, hence larger, equals absolute x plus absolute minus y, because x is non-negative and minus y is positive, and that's absolute x plus absolute y. Furthermore, minus the quantity x plus y distributes as minus x plus minus y, which is less than or equal to x plus minus y, because x is non-negative and minus y is positive. And that equals absolute x plus absolute minus y, and that equals absolute x plus absolute y. Therefore, multiplying through by minus, we get x plus y is bigger than or equal to minus absolute x plus absolute y. So you see, up above, in star, we proved that x plus y is less than or equal to absolute x plus absolute y. Here we've proved that minus x plus y is bigger than or equal. Here we've proved that x plus y is bigger than or equal to negative absolute x plus absolute y. Putting those two things together, using the little idea I explained to you at the beginning of this discussion, we get that absolute x plus y is less than or equal to absolute x plus absolute y. Case 3, x is less than 0 and y is bigger than or equal to 0. This is just like the last case, case 2, with the roles of x and y switched. So there's no need to write out the proof. It's just the same with the roles of x and y reversed. And the last case is x is less than 0 and y is less than 0. This case is identical to case 2 with the roles of x and So x is less than 0 and y is less than 0. Therefore, x plus y is less than or equal to minus x plus minus y, because minus x and minus y are positive, equals absolute x plus absolute y. Also, minus the quantity x plus y equals minus x plus minus y equals absolute x plus absolute y, because minus x is positive and minus y is positive. And therefore, putting these two things together, absolute x plus y is less than or equal to absolute x plus absolute y. So all those four cases cover all the possibilities, which you could easily check just by thinking for a moment. So we have proved that for all x, real x, and all real y, absolute the quantity x plus y is less than or equal to absolute x plus absolute y. So here's an interesting example that you may have never thought about before. We will show that there exist irrational numbers, a and b, so that a to the bth power is rational. So let alpha be the square root of 2 and let beta be the square root of 2. If alpha to the beta is rational, then we are done, because square root of 2 is irrational. If alpha to the beta is irrational, then observe that alpha to the beta to the quantity square root of 2 equals alpha to the beta times square root of 2 equals, so beta times the square root of 2 is, of course, square root of 2 times square root of 2, which is 2, so this equals alpha squared. But alpha is the square root of 2, so that equals square root of 2 squared, which is 2. So with a equals alpha to the beta, which is irrational, and b equals square root of 2 is irrational, we have found two irrational numbers, a and b, so that a to the b is rational. So now we'll talk about proof by contraposition. So this is a subtle but interesting idea. It's closely related to proof by contradiction, but there's a subtle difference. If we are trying to prove that P implies Q by contradiction, then we deny Q, but it is unclear what contradiction we are seeking. If we instead attempt a proof by contraposition, then we seek to prove not Q implies not P. We assume not Q, and our goal is to prove not P. And the best way to understand this, of course, is to look at some examples. So that's what we're going to do. Let us show that if n is an integer and n squared is even, then n is even. We do so by contraposition. So suppose that n is odd. We shall then show that n squared is odd. The hypothesis is that n equals 2k plus 1 for some integer k. Therefore, n squared is 2k plus 1 quantity squared, which is 4k squared plus 4k plus 1, which is twice 2k squared plus 2k altogether plus 1. Thus, we see explicitly that n squared is odd, and the result is proved. Now we show that if x and y are integers and x plus y is even, then x and y have the same parity. That is to say, they're either both even or both odd. We do so with a proof by contraposition. So suppose that x and y do not have the same parity. So one is even and one is odd. Say that x is even So x equals 2j for some integer j, and y is odd, so y equals 2m plus 1 for some integer m. Then x plus y is 2j plus 2m plus 1, which is 2 times j plus m plus 1. So x plus y is odd. So that gives the result. Again, we wanted to show that if x plus y is even, then x and y have the same parity. What we instead show is that if x and y don't have the same parity, then x plus y is odd. For this example, let us prove that if k is an integer and 3k plus 1 is even, then k is odd. We do so by contraposition. Assume that k is even. So k equals 2m for some integer m, then 3k plus 1 is 3 times 2m plus 1, which is 6m plus 1, which is clearly odd. That gives the result. So here's a kind of an amusing fact. If there are 23 people in a room, then the odds are better than even the two of them have the same birthday. Now here by same birthday, we mean the birthday on the same day of the year. For convenience, we shall assume that a year has 365 days. So we're not talking about a leap year, we're talking about a regular year. The best strategy is to calculate the odds that no two of the people have the same birthday and then to take complements. So let us label the people P1 through P23. Then, assuming that none of the PJ have the same birthday, we see that P1 can have his or her birthday on any of 365 days in the year. P2 can then have his or her birthday on any of the remaining 364 days, because it's got to be a different day. P3 can have his or her birthday on any of the remaining 363 days, because it's got to be different from the birthday of P1 and P2, and so forth. So the number of different ways that these 23 people can all have different birthdays is 365 times 364 times 363 dot 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 times 345 times 344 times 343. That's 23 sequential numbers, each one less than the one before it. On the other hand, the number of ways that birthdays could be distributed with no restrictions among 23 people is 365 times 365 times 365 dot 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 times 365, which is 365 to the 23rd power. Taking quotients, the probability that these 23 people all have different birthdays is 365 times 364 times 363 dot 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 times 343 divided by 365 to the 23rd power. A quick calculation with a calculator shows that this number p is 0.4927, which is strictly less than 0.5. So we see that the odds that 23 people will all have different birthdays is 0.4927. Therefore, the odds that at least two of them will have the same birthday is 0.5073, which is 1 minus 0.4927. And that's greater than 1/2, and that's what we wanted to show. Now, here's an example that actually has been studied quite a lot. That is to say, its generalizations have been studied quite a lot. Show that if there are six people in a room, then either three of them know each other or three of them do not know each other. Here, three people know each other if each of the three pairs is met. Three people do not know each other if each of the three pairs is not met. The tedious way to do this problem is to write out all possible acquaintance assignments for six people. That would take a good deal of time and effort and would be woefully inelegant. We now describe a more efficient, more satisfying strategy. Call one of the people Bob. There are five other people besides Bob. Either Bob knows three of them or he does not know three of them. Say that Bob knows three of the others. If any two of those three are acquainted, then those two and Bob form a mutually acquainted threesome. If no two of those three know each other, then those three are a mutually unacquainted threesome. Now suppose that Bob does not know three of the others. If any two of those three are unacquainted, then those two and Bob form an unacquainted threesome. If all pairs among the three are instead acquainted, then those three form a mutually acquainted threesome. We have covered all possibilities and in every instance come up with either a mutually acquainted threesome or a mutually unacquainted threesome, and that ends the proof. It may be worth knowing that five people is insufficient to guarantee a mutually acquainted threesome or a mutually unacquainted threesome. We leave it to the reader to provide a suitable counterexample. It is quite difficult to determine the minimal number of people to solve the problem when threesome is replaced by foursome. When foursome is replaced by fivesome, the problem is considered to be grossly intractable. The problem is a simple example from the mathematical subject known as Ramsey theory. Example, Jill is dealt a poker hand of five cards from a standard deck of 52 cards. What is the probability that she holds four of a kind? In order to solve this problem, we need to note the following. If you want to choose K objects from among N objects, then there are N ways to choose the first object, N minus 1 ways to choose the second object, N minus 2 ways to choose the third object, down to N minus K plus 1 ways to choose the Kth object, and these objects can be chosen in any order. There are K factorial ways to order K objects. In conclusion, the number of ways to select K objects from among N is N times N minus 1 times N minus 2 dot 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 down to N minus K plus 1 divided by K times K minus 1 times K minus 2 dot 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 down to 3 times 2 times 1. And this equals N factorial divided by K factorial times the quantity N minus K factorial. This fraction occurs so frequently in mathematics that it is denoted by a special symbol, large parenthesis N over K, right parenthesis. And this is called the choose function, N choose K. How many ways can you choose K objects from among N objects? So let's go back to this question about four of a kind in poker. If the hand holds four aces, then the fifth card is any one of the other 48 cards. If the hand holds four kings, then the fifth card is any one of the other 48 cards, and so forth. So there are a total of 13 times 48 equals 624 possible hands with four of a kind. The total number of possible five-card hands is 52 choose 5, which you can just multiply out using the formula we derived up above to be 2598960. Therefore, the probability of holding four of a kind is P equals 624 divided by 2598960, which is 0.00024. And that, my friends, is the end of today's lesson.